Thanks very much for that, Mark. You're listening to Kerry Today. This is Gerry O'Sullivan with you until 11 o'clock this morning with the Kerry Today programme. We're coming to you live from the Kerry Suite here in the Rose Hotel in Tralee. Everyone is invited if you want to pop along and have a view, have a say on our Kerry Thinks poll. That's the reason why we're here. As 2024 starts, we really want to get your thoughts on what you out there, and what we have been doing is getting your views to our online poll of the important priorities for Kerry in the year ahead. The issues of housing, economy, healthcare, climate change, how safe do you feel in Kerry, crime, infrastructure, immigration, other things like that, all to do with, I suppose, how Kerry sees itself, or how you, the people of Kerry, see the issues that are important to you as we head into 2024, which will be a very important year for deciding who are going to be the people who are going to be trying to change and improve these sort of things, be either via the local or European elections, or possibly a general election, which could lead to a major change in who is running this country. So that's the idea behind it. We want your views on the programme this morning. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call, text or WhatsApp us. You can call 0667123666, text or WhatsApp 083 300 3300, or you can email kerrytoday@radiokerry.ie. More about that anon. Just a quick mention of the things that are making the headlines in the newspapers this morning. The continuing story, which is focusing a lot of minds in this county, is the story of the enormous haul of crystal meth at the Port of Cork on Friday, and arrests made of people in Kerry, and two men continuing to be questioned. Irish Examiner on its front page this morning says crystal meth seizure is proof that drug cartels are using Ireland as a staging post. They're saying essentially the €32.8 million haul, which has led to searches of a number of premises in Kerry as well as one in Waterford, all those have been completed. Gardaí, speaking to the newspaper, have said it would be unusual, certainly the first time that we've definitely concretely identified what we call that we're sort of a staging post, as in the product has come in, it's not destined for the market here in Ireland, and all due to head out separately. That is our understanding. There would have been crystal meth seizures in the past in some amounts in Ireland, but nothing to this level, and none of this was particularly destined for this market. It was just transiting through. There's no indication know that it was processed here. We did explore that at the beginning, but we do not believe so. Now, and Gardaí have told Anne Murphy, writing in the Examiner, that they believe there is a significant international element to the operation, with the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico believed to be linked to it. And that goes back then, as the paper reports, to the senior figure in the cartel, Maurice O'Shea Salazar, who spent a number of his teenage years in Killorglin here in Kerry after the death of his father in a car crash in Mexico. So that story continues. We'll keep you abreast of developments in relation to that. Something we might be talking about a little bit later on the show is the Technological University of Ireland staff, TUI. They're to protest over pay, nationwide protest being staged at technological universities, including MTU here in Kerry. Third level members of the Teachers Union of Ireland will take part in the action to highlight what the union said are unacceptable regional variations in pay and conditions in the sector. This is only the start. Now, student services and services in general will not be affected by the 1 hour protest today at lunchtime. The union is accusing the Department of Further and Higher Education of failing to adhere to a collective agreement on the establishment of the technological university sector, and the TUI have described the department's approach as an attempt to have each technical university free to operate separately without regard or recourse to national negotiation. So we'll see where that one goes. They're promising a ramping up of it. It's a lunchtime protest, could turn into a rock the rule, and as you heard in the news there, it could end up being out and out 1 day or longer strike action if it isn't resolved. There's lots in the newspapers this morning as well about RTE and about pay and ex gratia payments. The Irish Daily Mail is going with the strongest line with regards to it. We've lost confidence in RTE chief over €200,000 for Coveney. Cabinet Minister's stark warning to Backhurst over golden handshake. So we'll see what happens with regards to that. One other story, and it's to do with our health service as well, which is making the front of the newspapers, and this is the Irish Independent has this story, and that's the story, again, another tragic story of a poor outcome, or an alleged bad outcome, in terms of the investigation that's been launched after the death of a second girl at University Hospital in Limerick. There were 113 patients on trolleys and corridors and wards in the hospital on the day the girl died, and the UL Hospitals Group has launched an internal investigation into the death of the 16-year-old who died in the consistently and chronically overcrowded University Hospital Limerick 3 weeks ago. It was 29th of January. There were 113 patients on trolleys in corridor. It's understood the girl is from County Limerick, and it's the second internal inquiry into the death of a female teenager at UHL in as many years. This comes after 16-year-old Aoife Johnson from Shannon in Clare, who developed meningitis, died after languishing on a trolley for 12 hours in the overcrowded emergency department in December of 2022. So no doubt more to come in relation to that. So keep your views, comments and opinions coming into us on the programme. We're talking now about Kerry Thinks and the results of our Kerry Thinks poll, as you would have heard in our news bulletin earlier on this morning, in relation to a number of issues. And we will be having an outside broadcast like this each week for the next 4 weeks, starting off today in different parts of the county, as we look to try and sift through the results and talk to people about how they view the various issues that are affecting them in Kerry. As you heard in our bulletin this morning, the poll finds almost one in six say they've suffered discrimination in Kerry. More than half of those who took part in the online survey believe Kerry has done enough to support international protection applicants as well. That's just some of the findings of it. Almost 600 people took part in the Kerry Thinks survey, which is available on the Radio Kerry website during January until the start of this month. And 71% of the respondents said they expected the cost of living in Kerry will increase this year, 1/5 expected to remain the same, and 4% said they thought costs would decrease. Now, with me in the beautiful Kerry suite here in the Rose Hotel in Tralee is, I was going to call them a panel of experts. I call them a panel of interested stakeholders, that's for sure. They all have their own perspectives, they all have their own views, and they all have their own, I suppose, expertise in their own area. That's why we asked them to come in and be part of the discussion this morning. We have Ger Carmody, who's a Tralee auctioneer. We have Councillor Cathal Foley, Sinn Féin councillor running in this summer's local elections in the Tralee local electoral area. Kevin O'Connor is chair of Cumann Yosef Community Centre in Tralee. Mistura Oyebanji is Social Democrats candidate for the Tralee local electoral area in the upcoming local elections. And Bridget Quilligan is project manager of the Kerry Travellers Health and Community Development Project. Good morning to all of you, and thanks very much for talking to us on the programme. Now, by the nature of this survey, we ask questions about serious issues facing people. It's not all doom and gloom. There are some positives out of it that we're dealing with as well. We're going to start, though, with, I suppose, the issue that has been dominating, I suppose, on the ground people's lives over the last 2 to 3 years, and that is the cost of living and the pressures that it kind of feeds into every real issue. 71% of respondents to the survey said they expected the cost of living in Kerry will increase this year. 1/5, 20% expected to remain the same, and only 4% said they thought it would decrease. Cathal Foley, I'll start with you. You meet constituents all the time. You're talking to them. You're seeing the impact of this on the ground. You're obviously not surprised by the strength of the findings there. 70% feeling that things are going in the wrong direction in cost of living.
Well, yes, obviously, everyone knows that the cost of living has skyrocketed over the last couple of years since COVID. You had COVID, you had the Suez Canal crisis, and with supplies and that. And then you had the war in Ukraine, obviously. The cost of materials, everything has gone up. And then now we have, on top of that, we have the mortgage crisis again, where mortgages have increased, rents have increased. There's no properties. Housing is obviously a huge, huge problem as well. So that all adds into it. So not surprised by the findings there. It's everybody has experienced the cost of living increases. Our everyday shopping has increased. Fuel has increased, and it's affecting people on the bottom rung of the ladder a lot more than the people on the top rung of the ladder.
Something you want to address in Sinn Féin?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. We did put forward proposals last year, pre-budget proposals, to cap electricity prices, to mortgage interest relief. It wasn't taken on board. Cost of electricity and fuel, as everyone knows, has skyrocketed, and that has had an awful effect on people who are trying to heat their homes or trying to travel to work in the morning. And yes, we had made recommendations on that and they weren't taken on board. I think 40% of households, mortgage payers, are paying 3,000 more in mortgage interest than they were a year ago. So that'll tell you.
That tells its own story then about everything, about the amount of money they have available for other costs, the amount of money even if they have available to go out for a meal, to take a weekend away, which affects tourism and other businesses across the
board. You can see it in the restaurants and the cafes, the bars. People have stopped. Many people have stopped going out for their coffee in the morning or going out eating out, and that has a knock-on effect on business in our towns and villages.
Do you believe that's at least part of the reason why we're seeing, on some level, places close?
Well, look, it is obvious. You talk to people. I know myself, I drive around Kerry every day of the week. I see restaurants getting quieter, cafes getting quieter. Obviously, the costs to the business people, their costs have increased. They've had to put their costs on the price of a cup of coffee, on the price of a scone or whatever. And it is the first thing that people will stop doing, the treats during the week. And we can see the effects of that all over the county.
Okay. Kevin O'Connor, what's your perspective on that finding? The 70% feel that things are going to go up again this year. Although we are hearing inflation is dropping, it may be leaving prices at a higher level anyway, and it may take time to feed through, but what's your view on that?
Well, the question is, what's our standard of living? Is this a national average? Are we the same as everybody else? Are our localities in Ireland suffering particularly badly? There's a survey done by Dr. Brendan O'Keefe, he's a sociologist, recently. Yeah. And his findings were that the standards of living in Kerry are 10% below the state average.
That's right, yeah.
And comparatively, Dublin is 15% higher than the state average. Now, what that speaks to me anyway is this question that we've laboured with across a whole lot of fronts. And that is the question of whether we control our own future and fortune, or whether we're satisfied to be dictated by from the top down. And I think we have a fundamental question to ask in society. Do we want to manage our own affairs? Do we want to find our own place in society? Or do we have to be told by somebody, some faceless person in a remote office, what we are entitled to, what we should or shouldn't have? Are we just numbers? Or are we human beings that have aspirations and rights? Now, those kind of fundamental questions really cut across the whole of society. And from a perspective of community services and the rest, our observation is that things are not getting better. Things have not leveled out, things are getting worse. We find more and more people struggle to survive. We're not talking about now excesses in society, or people spending their budgets on unnecessary goods or chattels. We're talking about people surviving on food, putting a roof over their head, sending their children to school, trying to get medical services in our hospital. These are the fundamental issues that cut across the whole of society. And that, in my view, influences our attitude then to people who come to our country to try and find a better way of life, or to escape from persecution. And I believe unless we address the fundamentals, these issues will remain with us for many a long day to come.
Okay, are you talking there then about the issue of centralisation of our government? That our local councillors, two people here at this table will be running, trying to get elected onto the next Kerry County Council, that they won't have the power, either through the local authority or a regional assembly. They won't have the budgets, they won't have the money, because it's primarily, since 1977, more or less controlled from Dublin. And again in 2014, a further transfer of power to central government.
That's exactly right, Jerry. The question for all of us is this. Can we find a workable solution to our international obligations and address problems in our society? In every town and village in Ireland, there are volunteers, community workers, providing essential services to that community. Services that the state does not and perhaps could not provide. And there is no distinction in the help offered. Therefore, our Cead Mhíle Fáilte is not just a slogan, in my mind. It is who we are as a people.
Yeah.
What we have become is a first world country with third world problems
okay.
that have not yet been resolved.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there, Kevin. We're going to go toward our guests in relation to this. We want your views on the cost of living. What do you see happening right now on the ground for you in terms of prices? Where do you think it's going to go for the rest of 2024? And what, if anything, can the government do about it, or our next government do about it, to address some of the things raised by Cathal and Kevin? We'll hear from other guests. We want, as I said, your questions, your views into us in relation to Kerry Thinks and issues like this. We'll get to those after we take these.
Kerry Thinks is brought to you by Radio Kerry, funded by Cumasun na mBan with the television license fee. Kerry Thinks, discussing the issues you say are important to you on Radio Kerry.
Yes, indeed. We're talking about our Kerry Thinks survey and how it relates to a number of different issues and questions we asked people to get involved with on us to find out how the people of Kerry or how our respondents are thinking about the major issues. We're talking about cost of living at the moment. 70% of people who responded felt that they felt the cost of living will increase in 2024. Some of our views, a listener says there will be no major change in who or how the country is run in the aftermath of an election because all the major parties, including and especially opposition, sing from the exact same hymnal, says it. Well, that's a pretty cynical way of looking at it. I don't really subscribe to that. I'd be a little bit more hopeful, I guess, that things may change. And I'm not saying the opposition have all the answers or the government are doing all the wrong things either. Can Kerry today do a piece to explain in layman's language what the two changes to our constitution in the upcoming referendums are proposing? I don't want to hear a debate in it. Just a simple explanation of what we're being asked to vote on. Nobody seems to have a clue. Yes, we will be doing that in more detail well in advance of March the 8th. Not a subject for this morning, though. And there is no problem in Ireland, be it the economy, housing or medical crisis, that's not impacted by the number one problem of controlled, unvetted immigration, refugees and asylum seekers. Well, that goes to what Kevin is saying there in terms of what's happening and who is being blamed for particular problems that we have at the moment. We will be coming to that a little bit later on. We have got our panel here, Ger Carmody, auctioneer in Tralee, Councillor Cathal Foley of Sinn Féin, Kevin O'Connor, chairman of Cumann Yosef Community Centre, Mysterio Oyebanji, Social Democrats candidate for the Tralee local electoral area, and Bridget Quilligan, project manager with the Kerry Travellers Health and Community Development Project. And Bridget, I'll come to you next. Look, just briefly on the cost of living, members of your community, you're seeing it in your own life as well. What are your thoughts on where it's going for next year and the impact it's having?
The impact it's having, Gerry, is devastating on the ground, and voluntary and community organisations are left to pick up the slack and support people. I'm very concerned about the elderly community in Kerry. I'm very concerned about young people who can't move out and move on with their life because they can't afford to. They're living with parents, they're developing mental health issues. Elderly community are developing mental health issues because they're afraid to go out, they're afraid to socialise, afraid to turn on their heating in some senses. We go out and visit people, their houses are in absolute disrepair because they can't afford to repair their homes. We see people who are choosing between heating themselves, heating their homes, or feeding themselves. We see people who are in major debt with electricity bills, people who genuinely cannot afford to fill their shopping trolley when in the past they never had problems with it. And we see people who are getting really depressed and down, not seeing a way out of it, because amongst our community, I suppose the unemployment rate and the discrimination rate and the education attainment rate is so low.
Yeah, so
that it's really
felt more severely in your community. And we will talk about that in a moment. But like the government supports that have been there, there's been billions of euros spent in packages, whether it's through electricity credits or other supports. Is that having an impact or is it not enough, to your view?
It's having a bit of an impact, Gerry, but it's not enough. And I think any family out there will say the same. It's very welcome, but it's not enough to meet the high cost of needs. If you think a pound of butter was €2, now it's nearly €4.
Yeah,
and that's just
that's
very
a staple,
basic staple. And if you're talking to an elderly person on maybe €260 a week and trying to pay all their bills out of that, well, it can go very quickly.
Okay, all right, Mr. Ray, can I ask you about that? I suppose and if I was to put it to you about, you know, what can a government do in this area. Some people would argue, look, they've given billions. The other person would say, well, the government needs to do more. The other people say, well, the government can't do everything. The government can't pay every bill for every person. They create the conditions for employment to be created or enterprise to be created that gets the tax money in. That means they can help. But what's your view on where we are, where we're going?
Well, I think the government can't do everything. That's fair. They can't do everything. But the stuff they have been doing, a lot of it hasn't been fit for purpose. Bridget talked there about young people being unable to go out, unable to socialize. 2023 was dominated with headlines talking about how Ireland was the loneliest place for young people in their 20s. I have friends who wouldn't go out for tea or coffee because they know if I go out for this tea, if I go out for this coffee, I can't pay the rent this week, I can't pay it this month. If you don't have a car, you're spending on public transport or taxis. If you're living somewhere where you have good public transport, maybe it's okay.
You're lucky.
If you're lucky. If you're not, you're going to spend a fortune on taxis. And then when it comes to next week, what will you do about food? What will you do about the electricity? You'll get a small loan, you'll get a borrowed loan, but you're just in a vicious cycle and you're going back and forth, back and forth. I work in utilities, and a lot of people would have called into us, especially in the last 2 years. Even now, they're getting their government credits, but their average bill is 500, 600. It was reduced to 150. That's not even going to cut half of it. I just think, like a lot of people are saying, they're outsourcing pretty much everything to volunteer groups. And they're saying, well, look, we've put this amount of money in here. We've done our bit. The rest is up to you.
Yeah, you think that's not enough? More needs to be done?
I think more needs to be done. We had our national conference last weekend, and everywhere you went, it was housing, supports, none of them fit for purpose.
Yeah.
Kerry Adapt will tell you the HAP in Kerry is 100 to 400 euros lower than in Cork, but it's not like we're living cheaper.
Yeah, same cost of living by and large in both counties. You're 24, you're in touch with that, obviously, younger community. What would you say, look, isn't that a symptom of post-COVID? We're still coming out of it. You're at a different stage of life, trying to get money together to get on the housing ladder. That's another discussion we'll have, but that, that at least the pandemic would explain in part why young people are or where they are.
I don't think we can blame it all on the pandemic. I think we've been having that line for the last 4 years, but I was in college in 2016, 2017, 2018 before the pandemic. Susie hadn't been increased for 7 years and rents were higher all the time anyway.
Yeah.
The contribution fees were being increased, the cost of materials, the cost of books. We've always had this problem.
Yeah.
We've left our eye off the ball and we've kind of said, oh, look, the pandemic caused this. Oh, look, the health system caused this. And the government is still singing that tune.
Okay.
We have to stop buying into it.
Okay, all right. That's Mistura Oyabanji there from the Social Democrats. Jor Carmody, look, cost of living, you can put, I suppose, talk about the groceries as we've talked about, but as Mistura mentioned there and as Bridget mentioned, rent is a huge part of it. And that comes to our next issue, which is housing. Vast majority of 92% of people think Kerry has a housing problem.
Yeah, and I think that I'm surprised it's actually not 100% because the reality is that there is a housing crisis. Just a quick look last night, there was 8 units available to rent in Tralee last night, and that started from 900 euro a month for a one bedroom apartment up to about 1,500-1,600 potentially for a three bedroom unit.
And that goes to what Mistura is saying, as a young person, if they're renting, they're deciding between their cup of coffee, meeting their mates, and not being able to afford it because they have to pay those rents.
That's your national averages of what your percentage of your what should go on rental income. That's, it's a way out of kilter at the moment. And that's only been fed in then by, there's only 8 units available to rent, so that's just driving it on. And we don't have rent caps in Kerry, but yet where there are rent caps, I'm still seeing that the rental levels are increasing by 8-9 nearly double digit figures each year, where it's supposed to be capped at 4%. So the rent cap is not working, the HAP assistance is not working. And it'll all come back to probably what we will discuss later, is it's increasing supply.
Okay, all right. We've a couple of people getting in touch with us here, and says in relation to caller works as a musician in Tralee in Killarney. He says he sees nothing but young people out and about spending all around him. So thinks this debate is going on air at the moment is utter nonsense. But Ms. Dura, what would you say to that reaction? No, we are a first world country. Some people have money in this society, that's for sure, and we're seeing it.
Well, I would say you're seeing them out and about, and fair enough, you're seeing them, but are you seeing them when they're at home going over the bills? Are you seeing them when they're getting loans or if they're calling their friends? I have friends who'd call me and they'd say, oh, look, I actually don't have money this week. I don't know where I'm going to go to. And I'd be like, okay, are you in debt? Do you know about MABS? Do you know about this? You're not seeing the whole story. Yeah. And I don't think it's fair to judge us. I think this is the whole thing going back to, oh, young people don't have any money because they're spending it all on avocado toast.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's one debate that's been had in different countries as well in relation to the situation. Carl Foley, I'm going back to you on this. Just on before we go to something more positive on the housing situation, look, your party raises it every week in the Dáil. You're promising that you have the answers. Another person would suggest perhaps maybe it's because of the eye being taken off the ball, because of international factors, other issues, the pandemic. It's like trying to turn around a tanker. We've loads of different schemes. We're trying to spend it. We're spending billions of euro on housing. It's going to take time. Or is that just...
Jerry, this all comes back to 2008 and the economic crash, the housing crisis, the crash that time. It all feeds back to that. At the time, county councils, local authorities were building social housing. It was freeing up houses for rent. As Jerry mentioned, there's nothing out there. It was freeing up those houses. That isn't happening at the scale it needs to be. We stopped building houses for over 10 years, and housing has been the number one problem. As long as I'm a councillor, since back as far as 1999, housing has been the number one crisis that I have faced. And I'm getting this week again emails and phone calls from people who are getting their notice to quit. They don't know where they're going to go, and it's an impossible task for me as a county councillor to tell them what they need to do, because I don't have the answers. People are availing of homeless services. People who never thought they would need to avail of homeless services are availing of homeless services here in Kerry at the moment. So housing, we need to build houses, we need to build social and affordable houses. When I left school, my generation, it was our ambition to buy a house or build a house, buy a site, and we could attain that. I don't know how people, young people of any age are going to do that at the moment, because it's just not feasible. There's houses being built in Tralee at the moment, Jerry, and the prices that are being looked for are just astronomical.
Jerry Carey, is part of that a reason of success? If you look at it in a certain way, and I'm not trying to defend the government here, and by the way, as part of our Kerry Things poll, we will have different outside broadcasts, we'll have government representatives and others on in case anyone thinks this is just a bashing exercise, but our population is increasing. People want to live here. People, young people, despite there's a number of them who are emigrating for, you know, other reasons, for travel and other things like that, to get experience. They're highly professional and educated before they go. Many of them are coming back after a couple of years because Ireland is an attractive place to live. Is that not a signal? It's not like we have 50,000 to 100,000 people emigrating every year because it's a terrible place to live. People want to live here. It's part of the pressure on housing, isn't it?
It is.
And but we failed to plan for that.
Correct. You know, when the crash hit, the first thing that was done was all lands, the majority of lands were dezoned, as if that was going to be the answer when there wasn't a developer in Ireland turning a sod. Mm. We went to zoning land. Coming back to your point on success, The number of people coming back is increasing. But if you look at the prices of where prices are at now, they're actually just gone ahead of where the figures were in 2008, 2009 from comparable properties.
Yeah.
So how come we were able to deliver back in the Celtic Tiger developments in Tralee and in Killarney and other towns around Kerry? You know, units with 100, maybe 50 to 100 units, and we haven't had a development in Tralee of any size since that period.
Yeah.
Because of the inputs, because of the costs, the cost of delivering, the bureaucracy,
the
delays, you know, all of these are feeding into it. So it's one thing to say we have the success and we've had the population growth, which is all positive, but a statistic we came across is the average first-time buyer last year was 35 years of age buying their first house. That's frightening.
Yeah.
Coming back to what Cathal said, when we came out of school and out of college, we were hoping to buy a house or build a house within 4 to 5 years, and we were doing it because the supply was there and the ability to do it was there. I'm showing houses at the moment. A 3-bedroom semi in Tralee there recently went on the market. Beautiful house. I had over 30 viewings on it. If we just take another stat, there was 35 houses for sale in Kerry, in Tralee, last night. 35. I had 30 viewings. Fantastic young couples, professional people, working hard, well-educated.
Good jobs.
Good jobs, living at home in most cases, trying to get married, in some cases married, having returned back to the county to live here, still living with their parents with the hope of setting up and starting, kids with them. And it's not that they can't afford it. Thankfully, they can afford it because they have the salaries, but they can't get the product.
Well, we've commented here. It says, a listener says, I've been outside Dunn's yesterday and the two most common items in trolleys were flowers and alcohol. Now, maybe that's the case. I'd be wary of one example. Maybe they're buying flowers and alcohol because they know they won't be able to save for a house, for all we know. They've given up on it.
Yeah, I'd be suspicious of that. Now, in fairness, I think that... I'm seeing, you know, the young couples are coming in. They're very focused. They're delivering. The reason that they're conceding to living at home and back at home is in order to save, in order to provide to get larger deposits. And what's also interesting is, you know, on the ground, back in the day, again going back to the Celtic Tiger, we spoke about people getting 100 and 110% mortgages. The majority of people are not even getting 90% mortgages now. They're in ability where prices have risen, they're in a position to bring a lot more to the table, which is meaning then that they're borrowing less.
Yeah.
And a more affordable situation. And coming back to the drink and the flowers, like, if somebody works hard, Are we not entitled to have a drink and present, you know, buy a bunch of flowers?
Yeah.
Yet we're looking at that as if that's excess.
Yes.
That's not excess.
Yeah.
The system
that's just
is
life.
Broke. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Look, another issue I want to come back to you, Bridget, with that housing, and I don't want to relate everything back to the traveller community, but what's your view on where we are? It cuts through every sector of society. I know the government have been spending billions. There's new schemes out there. They're saying they're delivering, or it's taking time. We'll get there. Do you believe it?
There's been very welcome new schemes in Kerry. The Rat House being, Hawdenside being one, and there's plans around St Michael's in Killarney and also around the Fossa Hawdenside.
Yeah.
And I suppose with the best will in the world, we still have an awful lot of families who are living in overcrowded situations. We have a diverse community. We have people who are unemployed. We have people with their own businesses. We have people who are employed. The same issues around housing,
yeah,
and access to housing,
they can't
affordable
move
out
their
access.
Parents' accommodation, they can't
Absolutely.
Get on the ladder.
I'm a prime example of that, Jerry. I'm 50 years of age and I'm living with my parents after divorce. I'm building a house for the last 10 years, and every time I get close to it, the prices go up.
My God, yeah.
So now I'm looking to refurbish an old cottage. But I suppose there's many people like me in overcrowded situations living within the traveller community, where you've 3 and 4 families living in one, maybe 3-bedroom house.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an absolute breaking point. And I suppose we have a nomadic population as well. So we have high pressure points around Christmas or around St. Patrick's Day, where people are coming back to the county and where for no love nor money can they get rented accommodation or can they get short-term accommodation.
Yeah.
And I suppose, look, I'm all for people making money. I come from a business family. But I do think in Kerry, the lure of whether it be the Airbnb or short-term lets is so much that there is a shortage. There is a housing shortage. And for if you have any kind of income, you mightn't be able to access a home unless you want to pay mad money, maybe 2,500, even in a week, for a short-term let.
Yeah.
And that's out of most people's reach.
And banks at the weekend talking about offering mortgages for people until they're 80 years of age, which will tell you, I suppose, all you need to know. Kevin, your view, older people in particular, housing is a problem for them too, assisted living and all of that. Just briefly on that issue.
Housing is a problem for people who cannot cope in the house they live in. You have older people living in 3-bedroom houses that they cannot cope with.
Yeah.
They cannot go up the stairs to the bathroom, for example. And we must provide alternatives to that, which we're attempting to do.
Options to downsize, assisted living, community living.
Well, the whole ambit. I mean, when you're dealing with people, it's a whole package.
Yeah.
What you have at the moment is comments from people of a particular age profile that they see society from their perspective. But if you take the total picture into account and look at how people try to survive day by day, putting food on the table, being able to pay for electricity and the rest of it, that's the package that we should examine. And it is a fact, in my view, that when we had control ourselves, local control, we were able to examine and assess and evaluate the needs of people on the ground.
On a local level, and build ourselves.
That's okay. Gone.
All right, Kevin, thanks for that. We're going to talk more with our panel. We're going to have a bit of a break now for the next 10 or 15 minutes. We're going to have a cup of coffee and be back with us at 10 o'clock. On the way, we'll be speaking to the TUI and other things after we take these.
Kerry Thinks is brought to you by Radio Kerry, funded by Cumashun na mBan with the television licence fee.
Yeah, keep your comments, views and opinions coming into us on the show this morning. We want to hear from you on the programme on any of our numbers. Keep your views and opinions coming in our discussion in relation to Kerry Thinks. We've been talking about the cost of living increase. We've also been talking about the housing situation. We'll be talking about the issues of, I suppose, why over half the people, 55% of people, are optimistic for the year ahead in Kerry, and also the issue of discrimination and immigration that's still to come on the programme this morning. We're going to talk now, though, about the TUI, Teachers Union of Ireland, and members of the MTU Kerry branch are participating in a national lunchtime protest today in relation to how unhappy they are with how regional variations are preventing an overall national negotiation policy for MTU in terms of their staff. Dr. Therese Higgins is chair of TUI MTU Kerry branch, is with me on the line. Therese, good morning to you and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jerry. Thank you for having me.
Would you say this is step one in a possible escalation of protest over this issue?
Well, unfortunately, it's very much a possibility that we will have to escalate this objection. We would rather not. Nobody likes to strike or to protest. We'd all rather negotiate and consult, and, you know, change is something that happens. You know, we're very excited that we have become universities across the sector, but the problem is just that the sector itself is being denigrated and fragmented, where before things were consulted on a national basis and change was managed very carefully and rolled out. Increasingly now we're having things not rolled out in that way, so that the promise that was given to members of the TUI when they accepted in 2017 that the move towards merging the then ITs to become TUs has not been fulfilled. So we're seeing, for example, as a first really big step, staff in Dublin at higher levels are being paid more than staff in regional colleges, yeah, in particular in MTU at the moment.
I was going to ask you about that with respect to the Department of Higher and Further Education and what it has to spend. Should staff not get more in Dublin? Cost of living is higher there?
Absolutely, perhaps that's an issue, but that is a separate issue, and it wasn't on that basis that this disparity has arisen. The disparity has arisen because there is no national forum that is active and engaged and functioning properly in order to regulate that. So what's happened is that the Dublin rate has been set and now a Kerry rate has been advertised, and we expect to see it being similarly disjointed up and down the country. And I should just say, actually, yeah, forgive me, it's not just a Kerry rate, it's a Munster rate, because if you're living in Cork,
yes,
which has also got campuses associated with MTU, then you're also going to be on this rate that's lower than Dublin. And as you've been hearing in the programme here, housing and cost of living is not just an issue restricted to Dublin, it's absolutely an issue across the country. And I suppose the other thing that it does is it sets a tone. It sets one of the technological universities above the others in the country. So you're looking at the possibility of a two-tier system, and that's very relevant to not just to staff, but also to students. If we're going to a technological university, we're adhering to QQI criteria for the different levels that we're studying and teaching and delivering and achieving through the hard work of staff and students alike. So you want to know that your degree is worth the same as the person who did their degree elsewhere in the country.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, the protest is lunchtime today. How quickly do you think things will escalate? Will it possibly escalate to affect students before the end of this school year?
Well, we would hope not, and in everything we do, we we don't, you know, we're teachers and lecturers essentially. We're there for our students day in, day out, and I think our students know that. We do have the support of the Students' Union, actually, and the other unions, FORSA and CIPTU, across the campuses of MTU in our protest today, and we would hope that that would continue. We will strive very, very hard to avoid impacting students on this, but I suppose the sooner the message gets through to the department and the senior management that we are adamant to fight to maintain the sectoral approach for technological universities across the country, the better.
Okay. All right, Therese, we're going to leave it there. We'll see what happens from today and beyond. The department are saying that they feel they haven't breached any agreement from 2017. The sides pretty far apart as things stand at the moment. My thanks to Dr. Therese Higgins there of the TUI branch, Teachers Union of Ireland, I should say, branch at the MTU in Kerry. Give us your views. We'll have more from our Kerry Thinks panel. We'll have more of your comments and views to get to after we take these. You're listening to Kerry Today. We have the first of four of our outside broadcasts. We're coming to you live today and this morning from the Kerry Suite at the Rose Hotel in Tralee. It's all to do with our Kerry Thinks poll that we've been carrying out for the last month or so, the findings of which you heard a little bit of this morning. We're talking to our panel in our beautifully surrounded room here. There's actually a gloriously appointed, really antique bookshelf which came out of the Bellona Convent in Tralee. It's kind of a key part of, I suppose, of our history here, but it's a magnificent setting. And we have our panel here, Ger Carmody, an auctioneer in Tralee, Councillor Carl Foley, Sinn Féin councillor running in this summer's local elections in the Tralee local electoral area, Kevin O'Connor, chair of Cumann Yosef Community Centre in Tralee, Mistura Oyabanji, Social Democrats candidate for the Tralee local electoral area, and Bridget Quilligan, project manager for the Kerry's Traveller Health and Community Development Project, with us as well. So if you have any views, get in touch with us, and a lot of you have views. Many of you probably took part in the poll, others maybe didn't have a chance, but the views are certainly coming in this morning. Jerry, I know it's considered intrusive and unpopular to suggest that some people need help and advice on managing their personal finances. I know some people can manage fine on the same income as others who are always short. How many state bodies mismanage their funds with all their expertise? Throwing money at something without proper studies will never improve conditions. Maybe efficient running of a home should be part of our education system. Well, there's an idea. And education comes out pretty positive in our survey. We'll be talking about it on another day. The vast majority of people feeling that our education system is working well. But yeah, it, you know what? It would be a good idea, certainly a good idea, for more budgeting and more how to manage your money, even at primary school level in this county, in this country. Housing, the government put stamp duty up 10% as a tactic to stop the vulture funds buying up housing stock some years ago. His friend purchased a site for 70,000 to build a house and ended up paying 7,000 euro stamp duty on it. Is he classed as similar to a vulture fund? Madness, says this listener. Builders were stripped of their machinery and working capital during the crash and were not bailed out like the banks. Builders need a startup fund, or believe me, there won't be any houses built, as I, for one, won't be going back into construction, says this Killorgan listener. Downsizing in older age is a very scary option. Not knowing your neighbours, the house you lived in all your life, and the people around you. Under no circumstances will I have someone else decide where I'm allowed to live. If my house is desirable to other people, they will have to wait until I'm dead and gone to take over. Well, there's an interesting study out by the RTE brainstorming section, which is suggesting, because of demographics and the way it's going, that part of our housing problem might be solved because there are much fewer children to inherit the houses that will be coming on the market. So that's another side of it. Nobody is forcing you to leave your house. The question we're talking about, and the suggestion, is that we're not doing enough to provide choices for people. And the choice would be somebody living in a six-bedroom house that they can no longer afford to heat, perhaps, or it makes no longer sense for them to live there for whatever reason. If they want to leave, they will find a friendly neighbourhood with maybe people they know close to where they lived originally. That's kind of a functioning side of society that we need to look at. Certainly in terms of the future planning that we need according to our demographics in this county in particular. And one of the reasons why we are where we are is because successive governments in the past failed to look ahead and failed to see the direction things were going in and to start making changes and decisions. And you can pull that back to politics, and you look at the criticism of the short-termism of politics. Politicians only really have a year or two to do what they need to do in government while they're worrying for next election, and therein goes the cycle. Great discussion with a great panel, says a listener. These types of discussions are needed more often to counter misinformation that's often bandied about as it was gospel. So there you go, lads. Some people are happy with what you're saying this morning. Tom Randall's in Kilgarvan says, what a depressing panel. On there trying to convince us the country is swimming with misery when we have full employment. You only had to look at Austin Sack Park last Saturday night, full to capacity, to see how vibrant a county we have, says Tom. And Mary says, our local council needs to show imagination and vision for our county and could begin by putting a decent public transport system into our main town. It's impossible to go from one end of town to the other without a car, says Mary. Yeah, that's another thing that came out of the poll. People less than happy with the public services or the public transport that we have. And going back to what Tom Randall says, and just to prove that it's not all depression, one of our findings from the survey, we asked people, were they optimistic for the year ahead in Kerry? 55% of people felt they were optimistic for the year ahead in Kerry, 26% not, and 18% don't know. Cathal Foley, that's a pretty positive finding, isn't it?
Course, yeah.
People with all our issues, and when I know we're concentrating on the problems by the nature of the programme, but by and large we have a nice country to live in. People want to come and live here, and people are feeling optimistic about the area.
Of course we do, Gerry. Look, and it's all relative. I mean, we're just lucky we're born and live in Kerry, and we live in the most beautiful county in Ireland. The quality of life we have, our kids, our beaches, our mountains, our rivers, our lakes, we're very lucky. Of course we are, and there's nobody saying otherwise. Like, our generation is better off than the previous generation, our grandparents. If you go back to my grandparents, my great-grandparents' generations, they had nothing. So, of course, it's all relative. But there are people struggling, and we can never get away from that. It's not where nobody is saying that everyone is struggling and that people aren't enjoying a good lifestyle or aren't getting on in the social ladder.
If you listen to some of the narrative, and this one caller mentioned misinformation there, like, if you follow some of what's being said on social media, we live in the most corrupt banana republic there is in the world.
Well, social media is a bubble anyway. I mean, look, some people on social media, it's all doom and gloom and conspiracy theories. So social media, people should definitely stay away from social media if they're looking for information, because it's you definitely won't find it there.
Yeah. George Carmody, what about that point that, look, people still, with our issues, with our problems, they feel optimistic about living in Kerry in the year ahead. Another finding from our poll was that, the vast majority of people intend to continue living in Kerry and see it as a positive place to live.
Well, I see it on the ground every day, thankfully. COVID, when it arrived, nixing all the generation that left probably in the mid-90s, were all moving back to Kerry to live because remote working facilitated and the rollout of broadband facilitated the potential to work from home. I remember in one development alone, I sold four houses that were from guys from Tralee moving back to Tralee, and they were their businesses were in America, they were in London, they were in Birmingham. They were nowhere near Kerry, but they were bringing them back because they had the education and they had the access to facilities, being beaches and a quality of life. So we have an awful lot to be positive about, for sure. And I'm like Tom Randall's, we're always positive in Kerry.
We are indeed. Bridget, I'll put that point to you. Like, the 55% feel that they're optimistic for the year ahead, 26%, 18% didn't know, they're on the fence, they want to see how the year goes, I suppose. But what's your response to that?
I suppose I'm always wary of polls, even though I mad about Kerry Radio, but I'm just wondering who participated in the polls, because I know I suppose the sign of a good society is how we treat our most vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the people who aren't represented, maybe, and I'm thinking of parents of children who have no access to appropriate early intervention if they have a disability or a different ability.
Yeah.
I'm looking at adults, young adults who are affected by mental health scandals. I'm looking at young children and adults, and even older adults who don't have appropriate services in the county. I wonder how hopeful they are for the future, their carers
and
are.
Just on that go back to that point of, like, in looking at our first texter after 10 o'clock, who said it's about managing our budgets, and sometimes the money that's being put in is huge, but it's about not managing it properly, not having the consultants in place, not having the people in place, that's part of the problem. It isn't from a lack of will, it's just a lack of ability to do it right.
I do think it's part of the problem, because we do meet individuals, and sometimes the person who screams the loudest to a service gets the most services, and that's very unfair on the people who wait their turn, and everything should be streamlined. I suppose that everyone should have equal access and equity within services. And I take Tom's point. I mean, we do live in the most beautiful county, I think, in the world, and I love Kerry. I'm very loyal to the county, but we also have to understand that
That's not the experience for everybody.
And there are people who are left behind through no fault of their own.
Yeah.
And they are trying to pull themselves up. And I've witnessed it in people of many walks of life, that some people, when they're pulling themselves up, there's an awful lot of barriers. And we have to understand that, what are the barriers for the people in the county who aren't doing as well. Or aren't as hopeful.
Okay, Ms. Dora, same point to you. I'm not addressing every question for young people at you, but for everybody in the county, your experience of living here, are you positive about the year ahead?
I'm
only if you get elected, you said.
I'm positive about the future we could.
Yeah.
And like everyone said, Kerry's beautiful. I was in Dublin over the weekend for the national conference, and one of my friends who came here from another country, he's mad about Kerry. He's been travelling to Kerry like 4 or 6 times with his own friends, and he's just like, I want to come back next week. And that's great, but we really, as a country, fail to prepare for the future, and that is bringing down our outlook. I also think, as a young person, I was happy to move back, and a lot of other people would be happy to move back as well. But you have to think about, if you're moving back, what are you going to do? Your parents aren't happy seeing you being forced to live at home for years and years, and not being able to forge your own life. I do take the point of the person who said we have full employment, and that is great. But
our economy is rebounded, it's growing.
Look at the full employment, because there has been a lot of pieces written about it in the last few weeks, most of the people who are being employed are grossly overqualified for the jobs that they're doing, and that's pushing people who would have traditionally done this job back onto
further down
assistance.
The ladder in terms of
so the glass isn't fully full, and it's not half empty, but we just need to look about bridging that gap better and how we can do it.
Okay, and this is the situation. And another thing as well is 91% of people see themselves continuing to live in Kerry, and I suppose that is, Kevin, a positive, isn't it? That it's a place where people, and older people come, older people from outside are coming to move here to retire here as well.
Jerry, what's important is we have positives. For example, Kingdom Monthly Housing, we're endeavouring to establish an older village. Those will be volunteers, people who have difficulty perhaps because of age or some incapacity, want to live in a community environment, in social housing, and be looked after for the rest of their lives. We with, in conjunction with the County Council, are trying to establish within our town, within a housing estate, would you believe it, a village for older people, where those people will live, have a quality of life, and they can finish out their lives with dignity and respect.
Yeah.
That's a positive. That's what's in vogue at the moment. And with a bit of luck, we'll complete it within a short space of time.
Yeah, and that is a positive side of it. Okay, we're going to go and talk about another issue which came up, or another two issues which came up in our particular poll, and our poll in terms of the issue of immigration and the issue of discrimination in this county. We asked the question, has Kerry done enough to support Ukrainian refugees? Is it the benefits of temporary protection in this county? 53% said yes. 47% said too much had been done. A similar allied question, I suppose, has Kerry done enough to support international protection applicants, asylum seekers? 39% said yes. 58% said too much has been done for this section of our society, because they are part of our society now, and 1% said no, and that was the particular answer. If I can start with you on this one, Bridget, what's your response to that? And we had a comment at the start, and it relates to the view of some people out there in saying that every issue that we're talking about, housing, is all affected by the problem of immigration.
Well, we had a lot of housing issues before we had refugees from Ukraine and other areas, we still had a housing problem. The system is broken, and I think even officials, whether it be on a national level, a regional level or a local level, will say that, that the system is broken, and they are very largely held back from doing their job on a local level. I would not propose to know what how a service would be for a refugee in terms of what their... I would ask them.
What their experience
is. Has Ireland done enough for you, rather than saying whether I thought they had enough. What I do know, I suppose, is my own community, both the community I live in, which is Ballyspillane and Forest Close, and the traveller community. And I suppose discrimination... For us, the 1 in 6 doesn't surprise us, because when we've done surveys, 100% of the people we've surveyed from the traveller community have said they have experienced discrimination.
Yeah, that's the finding we heard. There's not about 1 in 6 people have faced some level of discrimination, both racial, some of it sexual, some of it based on gender, from the respondents to our survey.
But so what I find is that often different communities, minority communities, are pitted against each other. So we would find an awful lot of people now, people, very far right people, would say to us, "And what about our own? What about the traveller community? We want to look after our own." Well, our response to that, and my response to that, is that don't pit us against another community that's looking for support and resources, because we have our own issues, we have our own pat, if you like, and we were never looked after. So don't then pit us against another vulnerable group.
Yeah, okay. Mistura, what's your response to this one, both on the, I suppose, the discrimination side of it, and that finding that, that people in the response said, look, too much is done. This is now, a, like it or not, it's an issue for the elections coming up.
Well, I moved to Ireland when I was 4. I haven't experienced discrimination in Kerry. Like, I grew up here in Tralee, and I went to Tralee Educate Together and Tralee Community College, which is now Coláiste Glanlea. Tralee is where I saw my sister born and my brother's love of athletics nurtured. But I won't say that I don't think discrimination is happening on some levels. I do think this question of we're doing too much is a bit of a... it's a bit of a rhetorical question. Because you can't really say we're doing too much, because if you say we're doing too much on this side, what about other people who aren't international refugees or applicants looking for protection who come and they also need housing? Are we doing too much when we help them? We're not. We can never do too much. What we aren't doing, though, is planning these things better. And a lot of it has to do with the way we're doing housing. Vienna is one of the most livable countries in Europe, because their local governments have so much power and they do a lot of the background work. We have the least power below Belarus, which is a dictatorship. If we had more power, I think we would be seeing less of these issues. And I also think, as a community, we're an amazing community in Kerry. We're so generous. But we can always do more, and I'd love for people to feel that way, because you helping your next door neighbor, your friend, someone's child, that's an amazing thing to do, and that's an amazing outlook we should have for the life we want in Ireland.
Okay. Cathal Foley, can I get your view on that side of it? I heard a figure this morning, 110 million people effectively displaced or on the move worldwide. This is only going one way.
It is, Gerry, and since the dawn of time, if you go back through history, migration has been there from day one. The Roman Empire tried to keep out migrants; they couldn't do it. So, look, it's a problem, and it's not a problem. We have lots of migrants here in Tralee who come to Tralee over the years, whether they were refugees, asylum seekers, visas, and are working hard and contributing here in Tralee and in Kerry. But what I do see over the years is, like, we haven't planned, and as the other speakers have said, we haven't planned, and housing is the main issue once again. Going back to 1971, a stone's throw from this building here, refugees came from Belfast to stay in Ballymullen Barracks. So we have had refugees coming for many, many years. Obviously, with the war in Ukraine, that whole situation just exploded, and we didn't have the resources or the accommodation for them, and that has had a knock-on effect throughout the whole county. But going back again, it is housing has there been the problem, because here in Tralee, we have a number of... Just let me finish, Gerry. We've had a number of hostels here in Tralee taken over for homeless accommodation, and that's going back for 10 or 15 years. So that had nothing to do with Ukraine or refugees coming here. The government had planned to build 7 7 reception centres.
That's what I was going to ask you.
They haven't done that. And also, the issue is that we have people coming here claiming asylum, and whether they're legitimate or not, it takes years for them to get a decision. And that's not fair on the state, it's not fair on the citizens of this state, or it's not fair on the people coming here because they're waiting in limbo for many, many years.
Okay, we're going to talk more on this issue. We've another few comments to get to. We'll get to those and more with our panel on Kerry Thinks. Keep your views coming in, lots of them coming into us. We'll get to those after we take these.
Kerry Thinks is brought to you by Radio Kerry, funded by Cumasun na mBan with the television licence fee. Kerry Thinks, discussing the issues you say are important to you on Radio Kerry.
Yes, indeed. We're talking Kerry Thinks. We're in the Rose Hotel in Tralee for the first of four outside broadcasts. Lots of your comments and views to get to. A listener says, all we need now is a bit of fine weather to make everyone feel good. We are lucky to live in this little country. Younger people must learn to save like people had to do years ago. I can see Ms. Dura is bristling at that suggestion that young people aren't saving. Another listener says, especially as what we've achieved has taken our lifetime. We certainly didn't have flowers and alcohol and foreign travel. You have to get your priorities in the right order. There is no such thing as free meals. You choose to be frugal and pay for your essentials, or else frivolous and so be hard done by. The poor me, I have no home, but I drive a great car and I travel to the sun and love wine, flowers and cosmetics. Well, look, I'm sure there are some people out there who live that way and have the poor mouth, but there are plenty of others who, you know, are really struggling through no fault of their own, and they have, as Bridget said, the barriers set up around them and the barriers set up that they have to get over to try and get on some sort of a level and playing field. Another listener gets in touch and says, definitely flowers and alcohol, somebody is buying them. Flowers and alcohol and foreign travel is excess if you're pleading homelessness. Well, we didn't say they were pleading homelessness, that was just an example of one person who was saying what they saw on people's shopping trolleys, and those people could be living in houses, they could be, you know, multimillionaires for all we know, or very well to do, as which there are plenty of in this country. My son didn't get the electric money from the government because he wasn't using enough electricity, so he's topping up whatever he can afford and he's in the red, says the listener. Another caller feels that our current leaders are using the Ukraine and Gaza situation as a distraction from serious domestic issues such as housing. Well, look, it's taking up a certain amount of media bandwidth, that's for sure. But the issues of housing, I can guarantee you it'll be raised in the Dáil again today, and it'll be reported on again today. And we're having this very discussion this morning to make sure that that is the situation, that this situation is examined. I wanted to talk just finally on our poll about the issue of discrimination. We were talking about immigration and about that, but one in six people, the respondents poll, said they have suffered discrimination in some sort of a form, and it can be various different forms. It can be discrimination in relation to a disability. Almost a quarter said this was because of disability. Now, Ger Carmody, that kind of surprised me. It didn't on one level, because I've talked to people in this programme about the lack of services that there are, or maybe perhaps just the way people are viewed and looked down on because they have a disability. More than one in five, a victim of ageism. We're the oldest county in Ireland, demographically ourselves in Mayo, so that's a factor. And at 12% suffered alleged sexual discrimination, and 11% on the grounds of gender. So we have the problems that are evident right throughout our society. And this may be an unrepresentative number as well in terms of the number of people who would actually report these things. What's your view?
Yeah, discrimination is, you know, your poll there, that we're doing too much for refugees, and this is in a way kind of discriminatory against those people. My experience is that the people that have come into this country at the backbone of the Celtic Tiger was the Polish community that came into this county.
Yeah,
and
of whom I'm hearing a number are having to leave because of the housing problems.
Correct, and but then Gerry, the other good side of that is a good few of them are leaving because the situation is improving in Poland.
Yes,
they've created wealth here, and they're going back with wealth to set up and be near their elderly parents.
Yeah,
so you know the discrimination, you know the we've got to remember that we did it ourselves. My parents went to England in the 60s, as did your own, Gerry. Yeah, they knew each other and worked hard and built the backbone of their own ability to come home and work hard. it was fantastic, coming back to my earlier point, back at the start of COVID, to see guys that were a couple of years older than me, were just ahead of the Celtic Tiger, had to leave to go to England, New York, different places, and were coming back with their kids just as they were about to set up in schools. We were able to, and we are able to educate them. And that it's just that, you know, we've got to be mindful of that. It's there's the discrimination is not just one way. We see it in through one set of eyes, and that's driven by, as was said earlier, by the social media.
Yeah. Kevin, if I could ask you, ageism, that's a particular issue for people. How we view our older people?
Well, Jerry, from my point of view, ageism is a state of mind. I don't feel old. The real issue in society is how we manage our affairs. How do we deal with our international obligations, I've said from the start, and how do we reconcile the problems in society? If we could return the people who have an interest in resolving them, local people, local management, local workers, local people, and stop dictating how we should live our lives from the top. That doesn't work. It hasn't worked. It's a mess. We must stop this business of doing private deals between the government department and hotels, whose business is to fill rooms.
Yeah.
And we have to stop bypassing communities. I mean, it's an awful state of affairs when the local politician finds out the day before that a busload of innocent people are arriving in his patch.
Yeah.
That's not how we should live in society.
It's part of the problem with that, and going back to our whole situation, and Colin mentioned the reception centres that were meant to be built in the plan, and there was plans, there was a report carried out about direct provision in this country that it's a system that wasn't fit for purpose, it wasn't working, it was emergency developed, private operators were brought in and they filled a gap and a need for the government, but it was left to linger too long. It goes back to that planning, that forward planning, housing. Better to have a reception centre in a particular area to deal with what will be a developing problem, and then you take away the issue of housing and the issue also of hotels and loss of tourism beds.
Why can we not, as a society, resolve our problems where they emerge? In every town in Ireland, there are good people that want to resolve whatever issues confront them.
Yeah.
Instead of having answers imposed on them or solutions, which don't work, because you find out after the event what's happening, then all sorts of issues arise. And this whole question of discrimination then, because they're not Indigenous Irish, they're creating our problems. Our problems were there long before that, and we have not found a means of resolving them. Now, one way of tackling the problem is to hand it back to local level. Let the people who know their own society, let them address some of these issues.
Okay. All right. Lots of comments coming into cost of living. Caller works as a bus escort for people with special needs. We work and pay all our taxes, but then when it comes to holidays, we're looking to get €200 a week. That's something which needs to be looked at. People are very fast talking about discrimination, but the people who are most discriminated against are the people who get up early in the morning and go to work. Low to middle class paying people who pay their taxes and have very few entitlements in life. Another listener, cost of living. Caller purchased a 10 kilogram bag of potatoes yesterday, 10 cents short of €19, and the 5 kg bag was nearly €11. Well, that tells its own story and where the way prices have gone. John phoned in, not impressed with the panel who were included in this morning's discussion. He doesn't say why he's upset, but he just says he's not happy. Okay, John, thanks for the feedback. Good morning, jury. €800,000 paid to bring the Ukrainian animals and vet fees to Ireland. Who gave approval for that? I would love to know. And our hospitals are up in a heap. Our government are a joke. Now, we talked about that in great detail on the programme last week, and we went in, that comes in from a taxpayer, and we were talking about the issue of it, and a number of people out there feel that it was fair enough expenditure because of the important role that pets play in people's lives. Again, the debate will go on. Another listener gets in touch and says, Tom says, Radio Kerry's 80,000 listeners a day and 600 did a survey. That's 13% of the population. Wouldn't think that's a good cross section. Well, Tom, we're reading out your comment, we're reading out lots of other people's comments. This was widely advertised. Anyone who wanted to get involved and who was enthusiastic enough to give their views were involved. So we think it's worth talking about the issues that came up. We're not pretending that this is the be-all and end-all and the view of every person, but it's a starting point for the discussion we're having. And again, we're feeding in. And by the way, we have an outside broadcast next week. You're welcome to come along and attend, Tom, and have your view heard there. There's plenty of room for an audience at these events, and we'll be keeping you up to date on that. And a listener says, I'm still stuck on the alcohol and flowers stat. Not sure if I heard it right. Could you repeat, please? Then drive through any big town after closing time. Take a look at the footfall of any bookies and vape shop. Add in illegal drug expenditure, and for God's sake, stop crying about how bad our young people have it, walking around with their cups of coffee. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Well, we heard the story of young people who can't afford cups of coffee, and it's not just all about young people. That was just an example. And there was no stat about alcohol and flowers, listener. It was an observation from one of our listeners who said they were outside Dunn stores. Miss Dura, you wanted to come in on that.
Two things. Firstly, for the listener who said their son wasn't entitled to the government credit, the CRU did make a modification recently enough. So it is, if it is your main residence, because a lot of people might have moved into new homes which wouldn't have qualified for usage, he can go back and say, look, this is my main residence.
Okay.
And that is one of the exceptions.
That's great.
Criteria.
Head back there and check that out, listener.
The other thing about this whole thing of I'm seeing young people walking with coffees, and I'm seeing 30-year-olds walking with coffees as well. Does that mean when they tell me I can't get a house, I say, look, you had a coffee yesterday. That was very bad. But also, minimum wage, if you're on minimum wage or less than minimum wage, after tax, you earn about, what, 26,000, 24,000? We heard it earlier that like the average house was like 300,000. How many years would it take you to save? And you would have to use all of your salary. So what were you going to do for rent, for food, medication? Were you just going to hope you never needed to do
anything?
Are
you expected not to have a social life of any kind in those intervening years?
It's not even
years?
A social life. I had people, acquaintances, I won't say which accommodation center, but they couldn't find accommodation. So they, for a year, a couple of people who lived in the rental unit next to mine just left their door open for the two friends who could get accommodation anywhere. And we all knew it was happening.
Yeah.
And they are technically homeless.
Yeah.
So if you see them with a coffee, I hope you're not going to think, oh yeah, sure.
They're living it up. Gimme, 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 as our listener says. Okay, look, guys, we are unfortunately out of time this morning. Thanks so much for giving us. Oh yes, Cathal, one final word you wanted to say, and this is the news, the sad news of the passing of a former Tralee Town councillor.
Yes, Jerry, yesterday we got word that Dinis Foley, or Dinis Sheen as he was known, from Blenerville here in Tralee, passed away. Dinis, he wasn't a relation of mine, but I knew him growing up as a councillor, an independent councillor here in Tralee. He was a very proud Tralee Kerryman, an Irishman. He was editor of the United Irishman back in the 1960s, discussing social issues that we are talking about here today, and obviously much worse social conditions at the time. So to his family, Ariashe Revanam, he was an extraordinary Tralee man and Kerryman. Thank you.
Indeed. Kevin, briefly, Kevin.
Created Cumann na Yosef and all of the associated charitable organisations that run with it. He was a mind of charity. There's a man who stood out and stood in front, and it was all about people and the interests of people. He was a perfect gentleman, and he will be missed.
He certainly will. Bridget, you wanted to say one thing finally?
Yeah, just around the discrimination, I suppose, it's not to be to have the belief out there that people who experience discrimination are always the oppressed and talking. We're very resilient people, but the fact of the matter is, no matter how educated you are, if you're from different minorities in Ireland, no matter how successful you are in business, no matter how respectable you are discriminated solely based on your identity. And sadly, that is the reality for many travellers in Kerry. But I would like to say finally, on the positives, which I didn't mention, Killarney had an autism initiative for Christmas, and it was an autism friendly town for Christmas, and it was one of the most wonderful things, I think, that the town of Killarney had done. So more of that, please.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. And that's a nice positive note to end it off. And my thanks to our panel this morning for sticking with us and talking about the issues and dealing with listeners' queries and everything else like that. That's Kerry Thinks, part one done. We have another outside broadcast next week. Ger Carmody, Cathal Foley, Kevin O'Connor, Ms. Dura Oyebhanji and Bridget Quilligan, my thanks to you. We'll have more on the way on Kerry Today.
Kerry Thinks is brought to you by Radio Kerry, funded by Cumann na Man with the television licence fee.
Yeah, you're listening to Kerry Today. Gerry O'Sullivan with you until 11 o'clock this morning. We'll come to you live from the Rose Hotel in Tralee, the Kerry Suite. A couple of comments coming into us on the programme. A listener says, a Killorgland OAP says she lives alone in a four-bedroom house from her pension. She has to heat her home, pay her home insurance. She doesn't have a car and has to feed herself, and that's it. That's all she has. She sees the young people today. They don't know how to save money. They just want to spend. Well, I suppose that's a perception that this person has. What do you think? A lot of people getting in touch about young people and their spending habits this morning. Again, that question, I'd ask you, Killorgland OAP, living alone in a four-bedroom house, if you're on your own, would you consider, if there was facilities near to you, freeing up some money for yourself by downsizing and having a better standard of living in a community close to where you don't need a car, perhaps, maybe access to public transport? That's one of the issues that forward planning from this and the future governments needs to help people in those situations. If you have a view on that, Killorgland OAP, I'd love to hear it. Where is the traveller discrimination? Architect designed houses have been allocated for them in the Mitchell's area of the town. Well, there is plenty of different examples. It's not all down to housing. I think you'd be very hard pressed from the studies that have been done and the evidence that is there and issues that come up for our courts to say that discrimination against travellers doesn't exist in this county or country. European economic migrants, if they are here and not working after 6 months, they should be deported. This is actually allowed under European law. Why is it not being implemented? Instead, we provide job seekers allowance, indefinitely put them on a housing list. That's not the case, listener. Plenty of them go on to work. Plenty of them are stuck because they can't get out of the direct visiting centres, even though they've been granted leave to stay in this country.